28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter, starting with verse 18. Let's see what God has in store for us today. The word reads, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" If I had to have a title this morning, it would be, "This sermon will knock your socks off." This sermon will knock your socks off. For ladies, it'll be stockings, I guess. I've always wondered what makes your church different from anybody else's. And it really boils down to the word that is delivered. There is a pastor for everybody. There's a preacher for everybody. But everybody is not the same. People need different things to motivate them, different things to move them to action. I often think that even though I'm young, I must be a relic, because I'm not the type to ask you to turn to your neighbor, and I don't have you repeating words as I say them. If I ever become that type of preacher, I'm going to tell you to grab the person's hands next to you, walk out the door and run around the building 5 times, come back and say hallelujah. And if you do that, then I would say that you are crazy. But there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you desire and that's what moves you. So I don't want to belittle it. I just don't do it. I believe that our job is to emulate Jesus. And I can't imagine Jesus taking time out of his message to tell somebody to do something. If you preach the word of God, I guarantee you will automatically turn to your neighbor and tell them something about what you heard. But in this particular text, he says to go out and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is an individual who goes out and tells the message of another. A disciple doesn't have his own message, or he would not be a disciple. A disciple is the one that bears witness for the leader. And God gave this great commission, and he has been given the power to give it. He starts off in 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." There is no higher form of authority than that. Okay, how you look at it or who you're looking at or who's what. If your leader does not follow this prescription, you're following the wrong leader. But he has all power and all authority in his hands to be able to send someone out and deliver his message. And he was talking to his disciples, but that is for us all, because we are all what? Disciples of Christ. If you've accepted him as Lord and personal Savior, this is your commission. If you are thinking about accepting him, this will be your assignment: to make disciples of all nations. So I'm looking at this and I'm trying to figure out how to make this as plain as possible. because we are missing the mark. Our responsibilities are being pushed aside. In order to follow someone, you should know about that someone. Amen? I think we all can agree on that. You don't want to follow nobody sheepishly or blindly as you do most of the time. But when it comes to this, we need to do some investigation. Try to find out who this Jesus really is and who is he really to give me all of this power. Because if he has, you got to understand that if your leader has this authority and his power and he delivers it into your hands, that means that you are functioning under the same authority and power that he has. That means you can't take this lightly. Amen? We do things that we feel might make us feel good. And then things that will make us uncomfortable, we shy away from. It is a process for a lot of people because they understand that they need to be with God. But they realize in their research that if I accept Christ in my life, there's some things that I got to push aside. And I don't know or I don't feel as if I'm ready to do that just yet. I got some more things I want to accomplish. I got some more things I want to do before I follow Jesus, because I don't want to be a hypocrite like everybody else. If I say I'm going to follow Jesus, I want to be all on board. I don't want to be like them folks that say they follow Jesus, but yet they ain't doing nothing about the God that they serve. I don't want to be the kind that come here on Sunday, sit in the pew for 2 hours, then take myself back home and do whatever I want according to the world and not according to the word. I don't want to be that kind, but yet when you say that, you in a sense become that kind because you understand where you should be. The problem is you don't want to be there because you don't want the responsibility. So you're no better than those inside, even though you're on the outside. At least the inside has some coverage. The outside has none. But you cannot base your discipleship or your walk on someone else. I never heard or seen nowhere in the Word of God that it says that when you stand before the throne, you will stand before all of those who traveled along with you. So you can might say that they're hypocrites, but if they on the side of righteousness and you are not on the side, you can get to the throne and say, well, how did all those unrighteous folks say, well, and I'm here and I did good. Morally, I was a good person. But yet all them hypocrites standing over there, at least they had enough sense to know that they were hypocrites and that they needed God. But back to you hypocrites who need God and ain't doing the work. The commission is, go out and make disciples. And I was here Wednesday night and the preacher preached a good message. And folks was whooping and hollering and shouting and turning to your neighbors and high-fiving one another and doing all this good stuff. But then I put a question to them. Did he preach? They said, yeah. Did he feed you? They said, yeah. I said, well, then go out and bring somebody back with you. Anything that's good or worth having is worth telling somebody about it. The problem is that we want it all for ourselves. How many times, and my wife came back, my wife and my sister went to Shady Maple. Y'all know Shady Maple? And my wife came back and she said, I had a fantastic time. I don't hear fantastic that much coming out of her mouth. But that right there is an indicator that, I may need to check this place out. And so she was impressed with where she went, and she came back And she told me all about this place. Told me so much that my own mouth began to water. Because I could taste it as if I was there. But she had something good and she wanted to share it. My son and the youth group went to see Drumline. And when they came back, my son couldn't stop talking about how much fun he had at Drumline and how much he enjoyed the show. And Dad, you need to go see it. You see, they were becoming disciples of where they went, even though they didn't realize that they were sending out a message saying, you need to come and see. The bad, I guess the good part about it is that the Drumline didn't have to get you in a place on Sunday morning and tell you to go out and tell somebody about how good Drumline is. Because it was good, you automatically went out and began to speak. Because the restaurant that you enjoyed was so good, nobody had to tell you to tell somebody about this restaurant. You wanted them to know that I found something good and I want to share it with you. This sermon will knock your socks off. Here it is. We have the greatest word of all times entrusted into our hands. Yeah. We have been dipped and washed in the blood of Christ. We have the most compelling story to tell. Some folks are more compelling than others. Some folks have been delivered from more things. But the problem is that we don't go and tell nobody.
Come on, Reverend.
You got to figure that if there's 100 people here, and they love their church, and they love what they were getting from their church, and they love the word of God, then why would not that 100 become 200 the next week? Yeah. I want you to come and see about what we're doing here. I want you to come and hear the man of God. I want you to come and enjoy the choir. I want you to come and enjoy Bible study. Enjoy. As a matter of fact, I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
That's too much now. Oh, you're going to take them to the restaurant. You're going to take them to Drumline, but you won't take the time to bring them to church. Now, when I was young, I had a aunt who would come by and pick us up every Sunday morning and took us to church because she didn't want us to be home. She had to come out of her way. It was not along the way to get to my old church.
Yeah.
So she had to come out of the way, then go back across where she lived to get us to church,
yeah,
then bring us home, go past her home, then go back to her house.
Yeah.
But she understood the Great Commission. She had something good. She wanted us to see her church and hear the church and hear what was going on. And she wanted our lives to possibly change. So then that leaves me to this. This must not be a good church. I must not be a good preacher. We must not have good teachers. We must not be all that you say we are. If we were, we wouldn't have a problem, right?
All right, Reverend.
You would go out and tell somebody. You wouldn't keep coming by yourself.
All right.
Unless it's so good, you don't want to share it. It's so good, I got to keep it to myself. Or I don't know what Reverend Johnson going to say next. You know, he ain't afraid to say anything, and I don't want to run nobody away. I'm only going to speak what the word of God says to speak. Now, I might not sugarcoat it. I'm going to give it how it's given. You know, when you were sick and you needed something, mama said, go get the castor oil. Now, it didn't taste good, but it sure did the trick. So Some of y'all thinking about that castor oil right now. Some of yeah, he right about that. And I ain't even hesitate to turn to your neighbor. You're like, yeah, that sure was some nasty stuff. Girl be like, yeah, give me a high five on that one. John 8:31 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So it's hard to tell something that you ain't doing yourself. That comes back to y'all now. It's hard to deliver the word of God and you yourself are living outside of his will. And that's when they say, I see hypocrites. When you shouldn't be a hypocrite, you got to understand that, I have difficulties. I got problems. I got some troubles. I got some concerns. Well, how much have you opened the word of God? Huh? You got problems. You got troubles. How much have you poured into the word to help you with your situation? How much Bible study have you gotten? How much Sunday? Because, of course, we know everything. Ain't that right? I know we know it here at Mount Moriah because ain't nobody at the class. So somebody knows. Some matter of fact, I tell you what, why don't we have a member of Sunday preach the word? Me and Palmer sit here to the side. Since you know it all. Since you got it all figured out. You don't need no help, no pushing, no nothing. You want it all to yourself. Here it is. Prepare the word. Do the homework. Search through the scriptures. You'll find yourself talking about, now turn to your neighbor, because you ain't got much to say. Well, it seemed to work for them.
Yeah.
Why won't it work for me? John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You got to know something about the God you serve. Folks say, I don't like him. I don't care for him. Well, let me help you out. If Jesus was like you, he would say, I don't like you. I don't care for you. I've asked you to do something. You've done none of it. And now you want me to wake you up in the morning. Now you want me to keep you on your job and keep you employed. Now you want me to give you a man. Now you want me to give you a woman. Well, hey, I don't like you. So I don't have to give you nothing. That's what we do. You my disciple, then you love one another no matter what. Come hell or high water, I'm still your brother. I'm still your sister. Oh, yeah, I'm preaching now. I like it when it get quiet. I'm saying that if your socks are still up, you ain't heard what I'm saying. Because they should be shivering down right now. Because I know I'm on some of your streets. I know because I've been there. I've done that. I've seen that. I know what not following God will get you. I had those concerns. I didn't pay no tithe. I didn't give to the church. I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't go to Bible class. I was out there in the middle of a strip club talking about, come on, shake it now. Shake it. Come on. I had to tell somebody, man, you need to go to this club. They got some nice women up in there. And nobody had to tell me where to send. I would send them to hell, but I won't take them to heaven. We ain't got a problem with pushing somebody down the wrong road. But when it goes to the right road, if I push you there, I'm going to have to walk with you. And I don't want to walk all the time like that. I like to be free. I like my anonymity. I like to sit in the pew. I don't want to lead no choir director. I don't want to sing as folks say, but didn't I see you singing in the choir? No, that wasn't me. You sound just like Peter and them. Oh, don't you know Jesus? No, that ain't me. There is a price you got to pay if you want to follow my Savior. I'm not worried about no economic downfall.
Well,
I don't worry about my job being taken. Because God has put me in the right perspective, in the right frame of mind to say, I'm not relying on man, I'm relying on you. And if I live according to his word, I have some resources saved up. I'm not worried about tomorrow because God has my today. John 15:8 says, but by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There's a lot riding on us. Matter of fact, it's called heaven and hell. There's a lot riding on your shoulders. Did he deserve it? Has he paid the price? Because that's the question you have to ask yourself. Does Jesus deserve my efforts? Inspiration and perspiration. Inspiration is you're getting saved. Perspiration is the work after salvation. Has he earned it? I don't know.
All right.
Only you can answer for that.
Yeah.
You know what he's done for you in your life. I can sit here and preach till I'm black and blue, tired, old, and gray, trying to figure out why church folk won't do right.
Yeah.
But you got to ask yourself, what is it going to take for me to stand before God and to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What has he done for you in your life? You can't look at me and say what he's done for me in mine, because that ain't going to do nothing for you.
Well,
you say, well, Ray, I want to be blessed like you. No, you don't. You want to be blessed like you.
Well,
you want what God gives you, not what God gives me. Because you might not be able to handle what God gives me. So you got to stop focusing on what others get and say, okay, I want to be a disciple for Christ.
Yeah.
All right. Look in his word.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tell you what to do.
Well,
tell you how to study. Tell you how to be prepared.
Yeah.
Say, if you don't put nothing in, guess what? You ain't getting nothing out.
Amen. Amen,
you want to lead folk to Christ? Well, you two-stepping. One toward Christ, two back toward Satan. One, two. Here I come, Lord. No, I'm not. Here I come. No, I'm not. Next thing you know, you find yourself doing that. Everybody's shuffling. Don't know where they're shuffling to. Trying to figure out, why am I in this situation? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, you ain't going from country to country, but you can definitely go from door to door, from neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, uncle to aunt, cousin, nephew. You have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity to share and spread the word of God, to tell somebody how good he's been to us. And for how long? Some of you can say that I wasn't with him all my life. But there was a time when I was at my lowest point. And when mama and daddy turned their backs on me and nobody else wanted to hang out with me, and I was deep down in the abyss of life, but in the midst of all that darkness, there was a piece of light that shined through and reached down through it and picked me up from where I was and said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. You got a story to tell. All you got to do is open up your mouth. You got something to give. You got something to share. You have the greatest story ever told. if you've been dipped in his blood. Yeah. And if you have not, the story is yet to be told for you. But you can feel him knocking on the altars of your heart, telling you it's time to come in. It's time to stop running. It's time to stop crying. It's time to stop letting the world tear you down when I can build you back up. Christ left his throne. He was fine. Didn't have to go nowhere. But said, I got some creation that I want to see about. I'm not just going to leave them to fend for themselves. I'm going to show them how to do it. So I'm going to come down as a man myself. And I'm going to walk the same streets they walk. I'm going to talk the same talk they talk. I'm going to eat the same thing they eat. I'm going to find out and let them know what it means to live a more righteous life. I'm going to turn Satan back, not with just my word, but with the word of the scriptures. Satan said, Lord, isn't it true? But instead, Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord or thy God. So you got to be able to defend yourself and your faith by knowing the word of God. Christ said, I'm not finished with him yet, though. I got some ways to go, because some folks think they still failures. Some folks think if they hold on to me, they're not going to make it. You're a good person and you're going to lose. I got news for you. Good people who follow Jesus do not lose. We win in the end, because he said he's coming back for us. But he has earned the right for us to spread the word, because he got up early one Sunday morning with all power in his hand to say, I'm giving you the right to preach the gospel, to speak the gospel, to walk the gospel, to talk the gospel, to run the gospel. I'm not staying in the grave, so you don't have to stay in the grave. He's given us a reason to be successful, a reason to keep going on, a reason for hope, a reason for change. My change ain't in Barack Obama. My change is in Jesus Christ. He has no economic problems. He has no worldly problems. He is what he is. He said, I am. All right, put your socks back on. Doors of the church are open this morning.